Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to speak this morning on the first marriage. The first marriage. Now, marriage is not a man-made institution. The first marriage was before the fall of our first father, Adam, when God brought Eve to Adam. The first marriage. Now, the things I'm going to be saying are not coming from myths. These are things that actually took place in the creation account. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Now, God did not create them at the same time. When he created man, he created man by himself, but Eve was in him. Eve was one of his ribs that the Lord took out. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, we read in verse 18 of chapter 2, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should dwell alone. I will make a help meet for him." Now, up to this point, everything had been good. God saw everything that he did in creation. The end of each of the 6 days of creation are like this. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. At the end, he said, God saw that it was very good. Nothing but good, but now when he speaks of Adam being alone, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, man, I've already read the scripture, was created in the image of God. Now, the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible reveals to us who God is, and God is one God in three distinct persons. Let us make man in our own image. Who's the us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now that can only be known by revelation, the revelation of Scripture. This is not something you can figure out. You couldn't think, well, I wonder what God's like. He must be one God in three distinct persons. No, we'd never come up with anything like that. But this is who he is. One God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now before creation, before there was any sun or star or universe or man or animal or plant, when all there was God, God the Father loved God the Son, and had a relationship with God the Son. God the Father loved God the Spirit. There was a relationship between the three persons of the Godhead, a relationship of love. Now, the three persons are equal. You know, it's said of the Lord that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All three persons are the Godhead are equal. There's not one greater than the other. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they all love one another. They worship one another. They have communion and fellowship with one another. Somebody says, explain that to me. I wouldn't dare. I don't know how. I know it's just what the Bible reveals concerning him. Now, Adam was created in the image of God. He was made to love. He was made to have a relationship. And here he was by himself. Now, look in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 2. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found in help meet for him. He looked at these animals, gave them names, and I have no doubt they were presented to him, male and female. But there was no female with Adam. There was not a help meet for him. And then we read in verse 21, and once again, somebody says, is this a myth? No, it's not a myth. This really happened. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And this is the first anesthesia. He went into a coma. I don't know what took place, but God performed a surgery on him. He caused him to fall into a deep sleep, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And I feel quite sure there was no scar when God closed the flesh. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he. And that is literally builded he, a woman. He made a woman and brought her unto the man. Now God, in his creative, infinite genius, from the rib of Adam, from Adam's body, he builded a woman. And he presented this woman to Adam. I don't know that this is the case, but I suspect it. I suspect that Adam was the best-looking man to ever live. Sin had not yet marred the creation. I suspect that Eve was the best-looking woman to ever live. Sin had not yet marred the creation. And the Lord brought this woman that he built to Adam. Oh, he presented her to Adam. I think that this could even represent the marriage ceremony. I've heard people speak against the marriage ceremony. They say Adam and Eve didn't have a marriage ceremony. I mean, as long as you love one another, do you have to go through that ceremony? Yes. Yes. If you refuse to go through that ceremony, there's a lack of commitment involved. And the Lord, what does he do? He presents this woman to Adam. And we read in verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. And he meant that literally. She came out of me. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And no doubt the Lord had told Adam what had taken place. I took a rib out of you and I built this woman, and here she is for you, a companion to love and to cherish. And he said in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, Adam didn't have a physical father and a physical mother, but the Lord told him that this is what takes place now in this thing of marriage, this God-ordained institution of marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother. The most important person to him now is his wife. It doesn't mean he'll mistreat his father and mother, but he will leave them. His main allegiance now is to be to his wife. There's a real problem in a marriage when somebody's parents are calling the shots. That never works. We're to leave that and be joined to our wife. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This speaks of the act of intimacy between a husband and a wife. Leave, cleave, and be one flesh. Now there's an old Puritan commentator by the name of Matthew Henry who made this comment about this. He said, Eve was not taken from Adam's head for her to rule over him. Eve was not taken from Adam's feet for him to trample on. But Eve was taken from out of his side to walk with him as his equal. Now, if somebody thinks of man's headship as means I'm better than her, and you've missed it. Man is not better than woman. They're to walk by side as equal. From under his heart to love her. Under his arm to nourish, protect, and cherish her. Now, somebody says, well, what about the stuff about the woman submitting to the man and being subordinate to the man? Now, in the Trinity, this is so mysterious, it's so glorious, but did you know that there's a subordination in the Trinity? Even though they're equal, the Son subordinates himself to the Father. He said, my Father is greater than I. Now, they're equal, but he subordinates himself. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, thought it not a thing to be grasped for, to be equal with God, because he was equal with God, because he is God. But he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. How glorious this is, that he subordinated himself to his Father. We don't look at this as bad, it's glorious. The Spirit subordinates himself to the Son. The Lord said concerning the Spirit, he shall glorify me. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. There is a subordination in the persons of the Trinity. That doesn't mean one's better than the other. They're all equal, but there's this glorious subordination. And in the marriage relationship, there is a subordination in that sense. The wife is to subordinate herself to her husband. The Scripture says that. Ephesians chapter 5, you can read about it. But he tells us, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. You see, they did not have a sinful nature. There wasn't anything that would cause them to be ashamed. It totally was not an issue with them, because they didn't have a fallen nature the way you and I do. The fall had not yet taken place. So here we have in paradise, the Garden of Eden, the perfect marriage, the perfect man, the perfect woman without sin to spoil it. But alas, it will not last. The fall is in the next chapter. But at any rate, here we have them, and I want to read a passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul quotes this. He says in verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. All these things I've said about marriage, here's the purpose. I speak concerning Christ and the church. The purpose of marriage. And marriage is a beautiful thing. I'm so thankful the Lord has given us this great blessing. I'm so blessed to be married to my wife. And I'm so thankful for it. And remember this, before I get into this part about the gospel, we're to be helpmates one to another. You know, some marriages seem like almost codependent relationships. it seems like they enable each other to go on in bad behavior, and that's never right. No, be helpmates one to another. You'll have faults that your wife can speak to you about that nobody else can. Listen to her. The same thing with the wives. Listen to what your husband says. Be helpmates one to another. Make each other better people. That's the goal of marriage, to be a helpmate one to another. May the Lord enable our marriages to be that way. But remember this, the main purpose of marriage is to teach us something of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage of Scripture, we have such a type, such a picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, the church is called the bride of Christ. The church is called the Lamb's wife. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what the Lord does for his church. Now, the first thing that I would point out is that Eve was in Adam prior to her creation. Eve was in Adam before she became a living soul and a woman. And in like manner, the church has always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a great mystery, but God's elect have always been eternally united to and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, before my creation, before he formed me in the belly, before I had any physical being, I had personality before God and he knew me. And that's true of every believer. They've always been in the Lord Jesus Christ, this union. And the Scripture gives several illustrations of this union. You know, the Lord gives the illustration of the vine and the branches. Now, the same stem that runs through the vine runs through the branches. Same stem. There's not a connecting point. The elect have always been united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:11 says, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. They're one. They're one. In Hebrews chapter 7, we read of Levi paying tithes in Abraham. It doesn't say it's as if he paid tithes. It says he paid those tithes. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, everybody in him, everybody he represented, everyone in his loins paid tithes. Whatever Christ did, I did, because I'm in him. This is speaking of the eternal union. Eve was in Adam before she had any physical existence. Now, the next thing I would point out in Genesis chapter 2, let's read verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Now, what that is a reference to is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ died, and the reason for his death is his Father. God caused this deep sleep to fall. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is life, died. Why did he die? The wages of sin is death. There's one reason for death, sin. The sins of God's people he willingly took upon himself. Now, I can't take somebody's sins on myself because I'm a sinner. It wouldn't do him any good. But he, the sinless one, the Son of the Father, the altogether lovely one, took the sins of his people and made them his very own. And that is why he died. And the Lord's justice is so magnified in this. Lord's no respecter of persons. Even when sin is found on his son, he must die. Adam is such a type of Christ here. In marrying Eve, Eve was already in him, and God puts him to this sleep. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The church came out of the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that spear was pierced in his side, the scripture says, out came blood and water. I think of Top Lady's song, "Be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." All of the salvation of the church comes from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the Mount of Transfiguration. When Elijah and Moses are speaking together with the Lord in his glorified state, the scripture says at that time they were speaking of the decease which he should accomplish. The church was taken from the side of Christ, from the death of Christ. That's how the church was made holy and unblameable and unreprovable, because Christ put away their sins. The life of the church comes out of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ dying is the most godlike thing God ever did. That he would willingly take upon himself the sins of his people and die for them and put away their sins, glorifying God, glorifying every attribute of God, and saving the church completely. Eve was brought out of his side. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. He built a woman. Now understand this. A believer is someone that God created and God builded. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, a creative work of God. Eve was builded by God. A creative work of God. Now, I hear preachers speak a whole lot about changed lives. Your changed life is the evidence that you're saved. You're not the way you used to be. You act different, you talk different, you think different. Your life has been changed. Now, I'm all for a changed life. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for a changed life. If you have a life that's bringing other people into misery because of your conduct, may you change. I'm all for changed lives. But the believer's life is not a changed life. It's a new life. It's a life that was not there before. It's not your old life change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, you still have the old nature. That's why you still sin if you're a believer. You still have the old nature. But you've got a new nature, the building of God, a new life, the life of God in the soul, a new life. Now let's go on reading. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Here we have this glorious presentation. He brings this woman to the man. Now, the scripture I thought of is the presentation Christ makes, where he presents his bride holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He says concerning his bride, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." This is what the Lord does for his bride. He makes his bride without fault, perfect in his sight. And how God sees things is the way they really are. Me and you, we don't see things the way they really are. We think this, we think that, and we're always wrong. He's always right. He sees things exactly as they are. And because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his death, every believer is perfect in his sight. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable, the scripture says, faultless. Verse 23, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones," literally, "and flesh of my flesh." And that's literally, the church was taken out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says regarding those bones that would not be broken. Remember, a bone of him should not be broken. It's because that's his body. That's his church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." You think of what the Lord Jesus Christ left for his church. He left the presence of his Father to come here and be made sin out of love to his church, out of obedience to his Father, but out of love to his church. And let me tell you something about the Lord Jesus. He does not believe in divorce. He says to his bride, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me." He left the praise of angels to come to this earth to be made sin out of love to his wife. Truly, he cleaves to her. He leaves, he cleaves, and he's one with her. This is speaking of the union of Christ with his people. They are one as he is, John says in 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, marriage is a blessing. No doubt. Nothing like a happy marriage. Nothing more miserable than a miserable marriage. But marriage is given to teach us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.